worship to begin with. Now, if you would turn in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, Exodus, the 19th chapter. In Exodus chapter 19, what we read in verse 1, that it's been 3 months since the children of Israel had been released out of Egypt, and the Lord's the one who delivered them. And then the Word of God tells us down in verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord had commanded. God had commanded them from the mount, and told them that He would be their God if they obeyed and kept His covenant. So as Moses expressed this to them, the children of Israel answered together and said in verse 8, "All that the Lord hath spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And then verses 9 and 10, I want you to notice specifically there, "The Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Now, I want you to notice here, in particular, God is meeting with His people. And as God meets with His people, He gives specific instructions on how to prepare to meet your God. He is the one who is defining how they should meet with Him. And notice how they are to prepare themselves for worship. He gives them 3 days. In other words, they've got 3 days to prepare their hearts to worship. They're to wash their clothes. Does it matter what you wear to church? Some people say, no, it don't matter. You can wear anything and everything, or a little bit of nothing. We've seen that. But here, the Word of God talks about clothes, doesn't it? You're to clean up yourself. You're to clean up your clothes. You're to make yourself presentable unto God. And He says, be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And notice in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about." In other words, God sets parameters and boundaries, saying, "Take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death." Now, do you believe God is serious about worship? That's pretty serious. Saying, I've got boundaries, and you've got to abide by my rules and my laws and how you come to me. And if you break those boundaries, God says, I'm going to put you to death. Now, this is Old Testament. We understand. And notice He goes on to say in verse 13, "There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man, and shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount." So Moses comes down from the mount. He goes to the people, and the Word of God says He sanctifies the people. He sets them apart. And they wash their clothes. And He said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, or do not have relations with your wives." Notice here, some standards are being set. And their hearts are being prepared to worship. How often do we come to church without that kind of preparation? We're flippant sometimes. Sometimes, if you got a car full of kids, we're arguing half the time just to get to church. Or if you're married, one of you's late and one of you early, and that one making the early one late and the late one early. And it's just a struggle sometimes. And that don't tune your heart to worship. Notice what it says in verse 16. "It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." You know what? When God meets with you, there ought to be a reverence, a godly fear. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, you and Aaron with you, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. When God met with his people, it was a serious matter. It wasn't a flippant matter. Now, you know what? A lot of times we can come to church and it's just a casual thing, we're coming to church. But we need to come realizing we're coming to meet the Lord our God. And as we meet with Him, there needs to be that heart preparation, and there needs to be a holy reverence toward God. I guarantee you, these children of Israel, when they met with God, they exceedingly feared. They were scared. They trembled, even so much so as Moses talked with God over in Hebrews chapter 12, and down in verse 21, it talks about Moses, how he reacted. It says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses even shook at the thought of God meeting with him and his people. You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's not like it should be today. Let me get you to look over in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, I want you to turn to the very first chapter. Revelation chapter 1, I want you to look down in verse 17. The Apostle John, as he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, the Word of God says, When I saw him, John saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state. And what does John do when he sees him? The Word of God says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of hell and of death. In other words, John dropped like he was dead. You know what? That's a serious matter. When we come together to meet and worship God, not everybody takes it very seriously. There should be a seriousness about us gathering to worship God. If you could do a time machine, and if you could take somebody back from, say, like 1960, and all of a sudden bring them into a church service in our day and time, if they were to go in some church services, they would not know where they are at. They wouldn't even know they're in a church. Things have changed so drastically about what some people call worship. There are, in our society, theaters, stages, performances, bands. There's a light show. And can you imagine walking from 50 years all of a sudden into something like that? You know what? That'd make you wonder, wouldn't it? When somebody performs, oftentimes people will applaud. Wow, they're applauding the person. Now, remember what we gather together for, to worship, is to magnify Him. Now, I don't have any problem with somebody clapping, as long as it's unto the Lord. That's ultimately who we've come to worship. God is our focus. But unfortunately, in some people's minds, when they come to church, God is not their focus. If God is not your focus, let me tell you something, you're not worshiping God. It was back in 313 A.D., there was a certain edict pronounced in Milan. And what that did, they gave Christians the right to purchase property. Way back in 313 A.D. Before that, they just met in homes or wherever they could gather together, but they could not purchase or build a place of worship. Now, it's a norm in our day and time. When you think about it, Christians can build now. In those first few centuries, they could not build. We got to understand, as far as a building program, which we are in, it is God who sanctifies the place, not the place that sanctifies God. And what we desire to see, as far as a building program, is a place that God would sanctify, set apart to where we can worship Him. A sanctuary. Now, do we want a place of worship, or do we want a place to perform? I pray it's your heart's desire, a place of worship. A place where we can meet as God's people and gather together and to worship and glorify our Lord God. There's a difference in what we would call a congregation and an audience. If you're an audience, that means I've got to perform. If you're a congregation, you know what that means? We are together worshiping God. If it's an audience, that makes you a spectator. Now, we ain't of the Tater family. We are a congregation. That means we participate together in worship. It is my responsibility as pastor to lead you into worship. It is my responsibility as the pastor to lead you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my responsibility to put up a program. Now, it's good that things are done decently in an order, but it's not my responsibility to perform and program certain things. It is my responsibility to lead you into worship, to draw people to Jesus Christ, always pointing to Him. Not pointing to me, pointing to Him. I think I was sharing with Brother Richard on Facebook about how there was someone from, it might have been Dwight L. Moody, he was back in the time of Spurgeon. He went over to hear Spurgeon. And when he went to hear Spurgeon, when he came back, they asked, how was Spurgeon's sermon? And he said something like this: I didn't hear Spurgeon. I sat at the feet of Jesus. I heard Jesus. He could only see Jesus. You know what? Boy, that's leading in worship. If you can come and hear God's word and say you've been with Jesus, that's good stuff. We are ever to be pointing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we minister in worship to impress or to express the value of God? We meet when we come together not to impress somebody, but to express how much we value the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing because He alone is worthy of all praise. if our worship is not Christ-centered, it's false worship. It's got to be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to worship, let me ask you something. Do you come to worship to get something out of it? If you do, you're coming for the wrong reason. You don't come to worship to gain what you can get. You come to worship because you want to give honor and glory to Him who alone is worthy of worship. And you love Him. And He's commanded us to. Therefore, we want to, because if you love Him, you keep His commandments. As you love Him, you do what He says. You want to worship Him. And you know what? You'll be amazed. More often than not, if you really come with the right heart, you'll get something out of worship. But that's not the reason that you come to worship. We worship Him because He alone is worthy, and we love Him. This past, I've told only one or two people this, Lydia's one of them. This past Monday when I got up, I had so much going on in my mind, and I didn't sleep too well, and I got up, and you know how you're in a fog sometime when you wake up? I was foggy Monday morning with a billion thoughts, it seemed like, going around in my head. And I had so many things thinking about, my heart started beating real fast. And all of a sudden, I just got a little bit disoriented and kind of like an anxiety attack. Now, some of y'all know what an anxiety attack is. I've never experienced that before in my life. Well, I know what you got to do because I talk to people who have anxiety attacks. So therefore, what I did is what I instruct other people to do when they go through that. And you got to get your focus on the Lord. And then you got to start worshiping the Lord. And when you start worshiping the Lord, you know what? Your anxiety goes away. It's all about Him, putting Him in the right place. See, my thoughts were going so many different directions. They weren't going in the main direction they should go, unto Him who alone is worthy of all praise. All these other things, the million and one things that are going through this pea brain, which is brain overload when you have a pea brain, but all those things don't amount to a hill of beans when you realize who's God over all, who's in control of it all, who's got the time schedule down over it all. I can't do anything with that time schedule. It's God and God alone. You know what? My act got together after I started worshiping. And that's something I mentioned Wednesday night or Thursday night, the men's meeting. I wanted people to pray for me, the men of the church to pray for me for, is my personal worship. Because when you personally worship, and when you're doing that with your heart, and your heart's right with God, you know what? Everything else falls in place. I really believe that. Let me ask you, do you stand in awe of God? Like we just looked back in Exodus chapter 19, those Israelites were in awe. They were trembling. They were quaking. They eventually told Moses, "You talk to us. Don't let him talk to us." They were scared. There ought to be a deep reverence for God. He sees your heart. He knows what you're thinking. And it's only when you have a heart for God that it'll make a difference. And if your heart is to magnify Him, you know what? You can be like Brother Nathan and get up and lead the singing for the first time in your life. At 23 years old, that's a little bit unusual. You know what? If your heart's right with Him, you'll take opportunities to glorify Him. Here's some serious things. Look over in Exodus chapter 28. In Exodus chapter 28, I want you to notice the seriousness of worshiping God. In Exodus chapter 28 and down in verse 34. In verse 34, the Word of God says this. And it talks about, this is part of the garments of the priest. It says, a golden veil and a pomegranate, a golden veil and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. and it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goes in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he die not. Now, was it important to follow God's instructions? I'm telling you what, Aaron would have been struck dead if he didn't, wouldn't he? Look over in Exodus 28 and verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. In other words, you better make sure you wear proper attire, and if you don't, back then God would have struck you dead. That's serious worship. Look over in Exodus chapter 30. In Exodus chapter 30 and down in verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now what happened if they did not wash? They died. That's serious instructions. God is particular there. Very particular. The very next verse, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. Look over in the book of Numbers, chapter 4. In Numbers, chapter 4, and down in verse 15. Numbers 4 and verse 15, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of the covering of the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. To the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, and the sanctuary, and the vessels thereof. The Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites and among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die. When they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them, every one to his service, and to his burden, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. In chapter 18 of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 18, the Lord said to Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and your sons, and you shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Your brethren also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. They shall keep thy charge, and the charge of the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor you also die. You better be careful. Look over in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, go back a book, chapter 18, and down in verse 9. Well, I've got the wrong chapter. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. Very simply, I am saying God is serious about how we are to approach Him in worship. Worship is a serious matter. There are in our day and time too many flippant when they come to worship. They don't care how they dress. They don't care how they smell. They don't care how they look. They don't prepare their heart. And if your heart is not prepared to worship, when you come to worship, let me tell you something, you're not going to worship the Lord like you ought to worship the Lord. You got to prepare your heart. you got to think about God's greatness, His holiness. He's infinite in all He does. You find the first song. I'm going to spend just a moment on a song here. Look back in Exodus chapter 15. Here is the first song sung by God's people. And notice what the Word of God says in chapter 15 of Exodus. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank unto the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. In the greatness of Thine excellency Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of Your nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Then notice what Moses said in this song. And this is a song the children of Israel sang. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? As this song talks about how great God is, God is greater than all the mighty armies of the earth. God is, the word is transcendent. He goes way beyond what our thoughts can think. He's greater than we can think Him to be. But yet, God is very imminent. In other words, He's very near. God is so vast. He's everywhere. But God is near. There's a balance here. Think about it. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah 23, look down in verse 23. And verse 24. In verse 23 we read, Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Over in Matthew 1:23, he calls himself Emmanuel, God with us. God inhabits the universe. And yet God is very near to us. We've got to balance that, because if we don't balance that, we'll be like, you remember the book I told you about, Larry Crabb, talking about how, does God really hear our prayers? Is He really there when we're really hurting? And he struggled through this. Comes out all right at the end of the book. You got to balance it. If you don't, you think God's so far away. He's not near. But if you think He's near and you don't realize how great God is, He becomes a buddy. And you become too familiar and flippant. There is a balance in worship. There's a balance with God. In our day and time, we hit the balance and the scales like with God is love. But God is holy. And don't forget one at the expense of the other. If you just think God is love, you know what? You can go out and sin and God will forgive you for anything you do. So you just, God is love. You got to balance that. God's holy. God is holy, holy, holy. There's a balance to God's love. As we worship, and as we look towards Sunday to come together to worship, let me encourage you to prepare your hearts to worship Him. Prepare your hearts. There's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. Boy, just then Sunday. Prepare your hearts to worship the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Because the next area I want to get in on, it deals with music and songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's a whole vast topic by itself. But may God help us to see that it's a serious matter to worship the Lord your God. It's amazing God don't strike people dead today, left and right. You know what? It'd be a lot of people dying if He had the stringent instructions as in the Old Testament. Thank God for His amazing grace. But may we seek to do His will and worship in Him in the way He desires us to come to Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace and we do thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us. And Lord, we come to you asking that you would work in our hearts, that we would worship you personally, and that we would worship you as a body of believers when we come together. Lord, there are some deep needs within our church body. Some with some deep sin. Some with some deep financial problems. Lord, there's Noelle with the job situation. We pray, Lord, that you would intervene. Lord, we ask that you work mightily in our midst. We have already seen your hand work in mighty ways, and we praise you for it. Lord, we ask that you give us wisdom in glorifying your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit speaking to us through your Word. Let us go forth boldly into this world, not ashamed of the gospel, but proclaiming the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For unto you alone you are worthy. We thank you for what you're going to do for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.